All right, welcome back. So Kevin Warsh is going to be sworn in as the new Fed chair today. And boy, right off the rip, they've got a June 16 and 17 Federal Reserve meeting. That is where they'll make a decision on whether to cut or even raise the interest rate, because there's been some signs that that might happen. And actually, there seems to be some policymakers on the Fed that seem to be open to an interest rate hike. That is not necessarily the news that I think some would like to hear. But also, inflation did rise in their last report, and that's something that needs to be combated and beaten down as well. And Patrick Anderson, the principal and CEO of the Anderson Economic Group, joins us to talk about it this morning. Patrick, it's always great to have you. What are some of the things that he is going to have to deal with as soon as he is sworn in today?
Well, his first challenge is that the president of the United States, who properly nominated him, Donald J. Trump, who wants a different direction at the Fed, is a notoriously impatient man when it comes to things like this. And he was very harsh, I think unduly harsh, at the outgoing Fed chair, in terms of, like, you know, calling him unintelligent and other things that are, you know, not suitable for family radio, even at 6:30 in the morning.
That's right.
But
and we get a call from Brendan Carr. It's a whole mess at that point.
So it was very harsh with the Powell Fed. And here's the new Fed chair, who is looking at inflation going up, not down, who's looking at wartime stresses that are causing energy markets to go up, who's looking at a spurt of jobs, which is a good thing. And generally, those all suggest tightening monetary policy, not loosening it.
So is Warsh somebody who's hawkish or dovish? Is he somebody that looks at fighting inflation, you're going to keep those interest rates where they are, or bring them up to beat back that inflation? Or is he more on the side of economic growth, employment, try to bring those rates down a little bit?
He would definitely describe himself as being in favor of economic growth. And of course, Powell would say, I'm in favor of economic growth too, sure. And that's why we're doing the following things. But in this case, Warsh has staked out some intellectually different grounds. He's argued that the Fed has gotten too big for its own britches, which is absolutely correct. I mean, the Fed got involved, particularly under the Biden administration, and various efforts to, you know, fight climate change and pursue these various social goals that were just not what it could do well, and arguably what it shouldn't have been doing at all. And it's ended up with trillions of dollars of assets and liabilities, and that's just not what the American Central Bank should be doing. So he's staked that out before he came in. I think that's just as important a part of his mission here as short-term decisions on interest rates.
Well, if you're looking for a home at this point, mortgage rates could decline if those rates go lower. Loans could become more affordable, particularly for automotives. There may be a little more comfortability for businesses when it comes to hiring, investing, things like that. But if things rise, you might see the interest rate if they notch that up a bit. I mean, you could see layoffs, things like that. So there is cost positives and negatives to both. How do you think they should handle this? Should they take the Powell perspective and just try to get that inflationary number down to 2%?
They should definitely take that perspective, because that's just not just a Powell perspective. That's the policy of the Federal Reserve. And when they didn't follow it during much of the Biden administration, during the, quote, transitory, end quote, days, we had a big burst of inflation. We had much dissatisfaction. We hurt our economy, hurt our standing in the world. And for all the politicians that are listening out there, and a lot of them are now, paying quite close attention to this, a lot of politicians lost their jobs. In particular, this was not good for the Biden administration to have the spurt of inflation. That's one of the reasons you see the Trump administration so focused on gas prices and on getting inflation down, because Americans have proven that they will punish the administration in office if they let inflation get out of hand.
And so the everyday impact for people on these decisions, you may not feel it every moment of every day when dealing with your finances, but long term, there's a lot of ramifications here.
Long term and short term. I mean, America is so benefited by being the reserve currency, the whole host of the reserve currency of the world. Mm-hmm. We're the leading economy in the world, and people look to us for stability and for a hard currency, and a currency that's not going through the kind of deflation, inflation type of cycles that you see in a lot of other countries. So we benefit, meaning we benefit short term, we benefit medium term, we benefit long term. The fact that we can talk intelligently about borrowing money to buy a new house, and maybe it's 6, maybe it's 7, maybe it's 8%, but it's not going to be 40%.
Right.
Right. And it's not going to be zero. I mean, you have a lot of predictability here in the United States that lets people talk and plan for buying a car, buying a house. And we all benefit from that. And to keep that, we have to have an independent central bank that does its job.
What is
I'm right now optimistic about this new chair.
Yeah. Well, what is the bond market experiencing right now? Seems to be a lot of upward pressure, particularly on yields. How is that? You talk about the dollar being the currency of the world. Well, how is that impacting that? Especially with all with everything going on in the Middle East.
Yeah, the biggest thing there, Chris, we've talked about this, is the United States now has over 100% of its GDP in publicly held debt. So this is something that people like me have been warning about for years, that other people are warning about. And I must say, both Democrats and Republicans over the last, say, 8 years have paid almost no attention to this.
Mm.
If this is a long-term issue, and particularly folks that are thinking about their retirement savings or they're approaching retirement or in retirement, that is something we need to deal with that we have not.
Mm, interesting. Patrick Anderson of the Anderson Economic Group, always great insight. Thank you very much. Have a nice long weekend, huh?
All right. Happy Memorial Day to everybody out there.
Yeah, you as well. By the way, speaking of Memorial Day, what's like on the grill? What must be on the grill on Memorial Day?
Ribs, sure. Your classic burgers and dogs, of course.
Okay.
Nice potato salad.
Yeah. That's
mac
good.
And cheese. Wow. I'm hungry.
It's all coming. Kelsey is with us today. Brian's out. Kelsey, what do you dial up for the holiday?
I don't know that we really do much for the holiday,
okay.
In all honesty.
Yeah.
Probably like grilling some meats or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you, Jason. Ribs on the grill on Memorial Day is pretty
I'm a big fan of like steak and stuff, but steak I feel I can eat another time. Like when it comes to like the holiday barbecues, you got to have your dogs, burgers, ribs,
sure.
Potato salad.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's too early in the year for like really good corn on the cob, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's how I'm going to ring in the 250 this year. It just good American sweet corn.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, obviously, we're talking about the news of Mike Duggan dropping out of the race today or yesterday. Absolutely seismic shift in Michigan politics. Also, Lansing lawmakers passing some money for Selfridge. Representative Ron Robinson on the other side. It's JR Morning.